So this week we're going to be continuing our series on Jesus's parables. And we looked last week at judging others when we thought about the tendency we have to point out the speck in someone else's eye when we have a plank in our own eyes that needs addressing, because it affects the way that we see others and the way that we see ourselves and the way that therefore we will judge other people. And this week we're looking at the parable of the unforgiving servant from Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 to 35. And this is one of Jesus's kingdom parables, when he says, the kingdom of God is like. So we might think of the kingdom of heaven as being like a mustard seed, treasure hidden in a field, a merchant seeking fine pearls, a dragnet that's been cast into the sea, a farmer who sowed a seed. These are all things that Jesus said in his parables, the kingdom of heaven is like. And here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And this parable in particular focuses on an unforgiving servant. And so I've got 3 points from this passage today, which describes the unforgiving servant's situation and attitude. The first point is unrepayable. The servant has an unrepayable debt of some 10,000 bags of gold. And secondly, he's unrepentant because immediately after he's been forgiven his debt, he demands 100 bags of silver from someone who's indebted to him. And then thirdly, he's ungrateful because he squanders his chance of a new start because he's still interested in money and not in righteousness. So it's unrepayable, unrepentant and ungrateful. So let's begin by looking further at unrepayable. Jesus is careful in this parable to show the vast difference between the two sums of debt that are mentioned. The unforgiving servant owes the king 10,000 bags of gold, while the unforgiving servant owes him just 100 silver coins. Now, if you look at the difference between these two values in the original words, we find that the unforgiving servant owed the king 10,000 talents, whilst his servant only owed him 100 denarii. And one talent would have been as much as 6,000 denarii. And this man owes 10,000 talents, which is basically 60 million denarii. And the person indebted to him only owes him 100 denarii. So it kind of links in well really with last week's parable about the speck and the plank, the vast difference in this man judging this person who owes him 100 denarii when he himself has just been let off 60 million denarii by the king. We might also think of what last week said about us being judged by the same measure that we judge others. It would be like the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15, being welcomed back home by his father, being forgiven all that he's done. Then there's the party that happens for him to welcome him home. And it would be like this prodigal son seeing one of the servants at the party drop a spoon and then sack him on the spot. What happens in this situation of the unforgiving servant is also kind of the reverse of another teaching that Jesus gives when he says that the person who has been forgiven more will love more. And clearly, the unforgiving servant, although he's been forgiven this unrepayable sum, is not loving more. Let's quickly go on to the second point then of unrepentance. This man was simply unrepentant. I saw a quote on the internet this week by a man called A.W. Pink, who was a Reformed Bible teacher who lived at the end of the 19th century and into the first half of the 20th century. And this quote said, "The nature of Christ's salvation is woefully misrepresented by the present-day evangelist. He announces a saviour from hell rather than a saviour from sin. And that is why so many are fatally deceived. For there are multitudes who wish to escape from the lake of fire, who have no desire to be delivered from their carnality and worldliness." Now, some might get uptight at this. What does he mean, he's not a saviour from hell? Is this man denying the existence of hell? Well, no, I don't think that's what he's doing at all. He's doing what another more modern-day preacher called Paul Washer has said in the past, which I believe this is a quote by Paul Washer, but Jesus is not a get-out-of-hell free card, as if we were playing a game of Monopoly. Both Pink and Washer are saying really the same thing that this parable says. You see, the man in the parable simply wanted to get out of his debt. He didn't want to change his life and live differently. Jesus, when he returns, won't look to see if we've simply prayed the prayer of repentance. When Jesus returns, he will look to see if our lives bear the fruit of repentance, which is something very different. It's not about what we say, it's about the way that we act. Ultimately, God actually wants us to be like him, to be like Jesus, to truly bear his image, not to try and distract his attention so that we can live the way that we want to. So the third point then, ungrateful. The man in this parable was simply ungrateful. He's been forgiven a debt of 60 million denarii, but then he squanders his chance almost immediately for a new start. It says that as soon as he went out, he actively went and grabbed by the throat this servant who owed him 100 denarii, a tiny sum comparatively when we consider the 60 million denarii that he's been freed from. He grabs this man by the throat, and when the man begins to beg him in the same way that he begged the king, the unforgiving servant has no mercy and throws this man into prison. You know what? It seems really that this man was laughing at the king. Isn't he really saying, I was in debt for 60 million denarii and I just blubbed and the old fool let me off. Now I can start making my fortune again from a clear sheet. This is what Paul says in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. This man mocked the justice of the King, who is Jesus, and he sowed seeds of death. So the king throws him into prison until the debt is paid. He says, you wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. He threw the man, the unforgiving servant, into jail until he could pay back the debt. And how long do you think it's going to take this man to pay back 60 million denarii? It's going to take him forever. It's going to take him the rest of his life because it's simply unrepayable. How can we expect the unforgiving servant to pay back 60 million denarii when he's grabbing someone by the throat to give him 100 denarii? As Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 says, how should we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This parable is clearly a parallel as well to the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins. If we ignore that, how are we supposed to escape? So how might we apply these things to our lives? Unrepayable. The simple truth of the gospel is that we have a debt of sin before God that is unrepayable. But as Christians, we live debt-free. Because when Jesus died, he paid it for you. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. There's a very simple application from this passage, and it's right in the Master's words. He says, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? Is there anyone in your life that you need to forgive today? It might be someone that you see every day. It might be someone that you don't see anymore. It might even be someone who's died, but what they did has a hold on you. It might be that that person simply owes you 100 denarii. It might be that what they did was so grievous that they effectively owe you 60 million denarii. You know, as with last week's sermon, it's not for me to judge the situations in your life. I can only leave those things between you and God. Unrepentant. A Christian is not someone who managed to trick God into forgiving them so they can now live as they want. A Christian is someone who's been forgiven by God's unmerited gift and so now lives their life as much like Jesus as they possibly can by the power of his Holy Spirit. To be like Jesus in our lives is what it means to bear fruits of repentance out of our new and free lease of life that we've been given by God. No more guilt, no more shame, only good fruits growing here is a sign that we should have above our heads. Ungratefulness. How can you say thank you to God today? Now we're going to be singing a song in just a minute. I know we sometimes refer to that final song as a response in song. But it's a little bit easy, isn't it? Well, I've done my gratefulness for today because I sang a song. But it's not about what we say. It's about how we act. Is there something in your life right now that you can dedicate to God? A project, a new job, a relationship, and in gratitude say, I will do this for you, Lord. It might be something that's going to last years, and you say, I'm going to do it for you, Lord, because I'm grateful. May this new thing bear the fruit and the hallmark of a life that is truly devoted to you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this passage today, which reminds us of the importance of bearing the fruit of repentance in our lives. Lord, that you've forgiven us so much. Lord, we can't be like that unforgiving servant who have been forgiven so much, simply goes out and grabs people by the throat saying, pay me back the debt that you owe me. Lord, you call us to be forgiving ourselves, to model your character in our lives. Lord, may we know and be reminded of afresh today the freedom that you have given us. May we just experience in our hearts again the realization of just how much grace you've poured out on us, so that we may be gracious, forgiving, and loving towards other people also. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.